read through the book of Proverbs each month. If you do one proverb a day, you would get through the entire book of Proverbs 12 times in a year. Or there is a 30 readings from Scripture going over major doctrine, where you would take one every 2 weeks and have the Scriptures here you would read and study. And if you prayerfully, I would encourage you to avail yourself to one of those, and they'll be out in the narthex afterwards. Also, one of the best gifts I think we've been able to give is a little gift we're giving this year. If you didn't get one last week, we've got plenty, but it's the life of Jesus using the Scriptures. And it's really in a good format. It's small enough you can carry with you, and let's just, as the sermon we'll talk about today, just make 2025 a year that we remember the Word of God. And I hope you can pick those up. If you have friends that you think would benefit from this, we've got plenty, so take them. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. Before we begin, I'll ask, how many of you, somewhere in your family, you have had some form of cold, bronchitis, sinus issues? How many of your families have had that? I know there's quite a few, and we're missing some today, and it's just a nuisance, and just pray that everyone will feel better. Word on Andy's father is the surgery went very well. He was regaining strength and eating, and his pain was pretty low yesterday. So let's continue to keep Fred Binky in our prayers. Any other items for prayer? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for your word. We know that the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, the Logos, the Word of God. And we're grateful that we have not only the incarnation of your word in flesh, but we have your word inscripted in this precious gift of the Old and New Testament, that our lives, our church, all that we do is founded upon this book of promises that remind us of the faithfulness of the author and of our Father. So we just pray that as a church we can embark upon this new year, and as individuals may we just have a renewed commitment to hide more of your word in our hearts. We pray that you would be the strength for those that we've mentioned. We pray that you would continue to strengthen Andy's father, Fred, be with Andy's mother and all the family, encourage them all as they are strengthened. We pray that you would be with all those in our congregation and others that are struggling with some form of colds and bronchial issues, and just pray that you'd be with them all. We pray in a special way you would be with the item, situation, the person that comes to our mind at this time. We pray that you would work in that situation, encourage, uphold, strengthen, and draw us all closer to you. And we ask all these things in your holy name. Amen. As always, we gather only in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercies, blot out our transgressions, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look to the insert, we'll use Psalm 111, calling each to worship. Then we'll stand and sing together hymn 191, The Birthday of a King. Hallelujah. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. His work is full of majesty and splendor, and his righteousness endures forever.
He makes his marvelous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
He gives food to those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant.
He has shown his people the power of his works, in the lands of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithfulness and justice. All his commandments are sure.
They spare us forever and ever, because they are done in truth and equity.
He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who act accordingly never understand. His praise endures forever.
First reading is Exodus 13, 1-3a and 11-15. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and it shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us sing him 100, please. As we enter the unknown of the coming year, we ask for your guidance and wisdom. Illuminate our path with your light and give your spirit that we may walk in your ways, seek your will, and treasure your word. Help us to seek first your kingdom and trust that all other things will be added unto us. Gracious God, we come before you seeking renewal in the new year. Renew our minds, our hearts, and our spirits according to your word. May we be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit, leaving behind the old and embracing the new that you have in store for us. And as your children, we are bold to pray together the prayer that you have given all disciples as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is for Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, part on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Glory to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. King, eternally reigning in our hearts, we give you praise. Glory, Lord, and honor, both now and always. Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with the wisdom and the favor of God was upon him. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Grace and peace from our Father and Savior Jesus Christ be upon you.
I read somewhere that no matter how much someone believes in heaven as they are younger, that as we all grow older, we all believe, this sage said, in the hereafter. As we've grown older, we know what it is to walk into a room and wonder, what are we here after? For we have forgotten. I think as I have walked and aged, and many would consider me old, and many would consider me young. But I have noticed that at 62, my memory is not as good as it used to be. I have only in the last couple of years been learning the phenomenon of being mid-sentence and being the one talking, and I completely forget what I was saying. Does anyone have that? Of course you do. And I want to suggest to you that the greatest gift we have, if properly used, is our memory. Is our memory. And I'm going to tell you this, sum up the sermon in two sentences, a compound sentence, if you will. And this is what I'm going to suggest to you, and then we'll try to unpack it very briefly. I'm going to suggest to you that you are what you remember. And what you remember is formed by the stories you tell yourself. You are what you remember, and what you remember is formed by the stories you tell yourself and believe. I was doing some research, and I thoroughly enjoyed learning about something that we're all losing, and that's our memory. And I never thought of this. And they do a test on infants called the Rouge test. And what comes from, I guess, some form of makeup ladies wear of rouge, they put a little dot on an infant's nose. And when an infant looks at a mirror, have you ever wondered what do they see? And what this research showed is if you put a little dot of rouge on an infant's nose and they look at a mirror, real young infants won't do anything. And then they move to a stage where they're a little bit older. When they see that dot on the mirror, guess what they do? They reach over and try to rub the dot off the mirror because they think they're looking at someone else, another child. And then they'll develop to the point where they understand, no, I'm seeing a reflection of me, as we learn to look at mirrors. But it's not that simple, if we're honest, because one of my favorite singers, and he's a good theologian, and Larry's got a daughter, I think, seen every concert he's ever given, but his name is George Strait. And in one of my favorite of his songs, Troubadour, he says that when we look in a mirror, there's something about that darn mirror, because it really doesn't show the whole truth. What do you see? If you wonder what children see, what do you see when you look in the mirror? And again, I'm not at this point speaking of a physical mirror. I'm talking about when you look at the mirror of God's Word. When you look at that metaphorical mirror of who you are, what do you see? And I'm going to suggest to you that the narratives we have, the stories we have been told, the stories that we remember form what we're going to see. We see this in the passage that Tom read for us in Exodus 13. And we see this over and over in the scripture, that after accomplishing something, they would erect some monument. Unfortunately, we live in a period where we've seen massive tearing down of monuments. And I won't go there. It's another lecture for another time, and wouldn't do it from a pulpit, but I'd love to do it. If you ever want my opinion about it, I'll give you my opinion. But we live in a period where we've torn down monuments. And I would argue, just quickly, that we are the poor for doing that. Our stories will be forgotten. The scripture understood that our memory will wane. And we need those things so that when the children ask, why are they there? We tell them, but in the telling of them, we remind ourselves this particular narrative that forms us. And that is that God was faithful. God took us through. The word is to remember. Where did you get your picture of yourself? You probably got it first from your first family, that family you grew up with. And some of us are blessed. We heard very good stories, like faithful Israel should have been, and like faithful parents are today from Deuteronomy 6. They understood that they were to teach their children and their grandchildren, not only in formal ways, but in informal ways. They were to tell them the stories of the good news of Jesus Christ to come. the faithfulness of God. And many of us were blessed by our first family, told us very good stories that helped us remember in a way that was good for us. Some of us, growing up, heard stories that weren't so good. And we've had to allow a transformation of our memories, of what we focus on. You know, there are triggers to our memories, the scripture we talked about. They're context, they're people. I won't go into this too far, but I found it interesting. Are any of you married to a man or a woman, or I guess either one, where they act totally, if you put them in a context with maybe their old high school or college friends, they act totally different than they do normal. They sort of kick back into. Or do any of you know that phenomenon you may have experienced over the last several weeks, where when you step back and you are with that first family that you grew up with again, everyone seems to take the roles they've always taken, and conversations seem to flow along the stories we've known. And that's where our past is only brought into the present by our memories. And we need to use our memories properly. I think there's one thing that's worse than amnesia. I was looking at two different people, and you can research this too. I found it fascinating. I didn't know the name of either one. One is a British a museologist. You might know him, Mark and Bonnie, but his name is Clive Wearing. He's still living. He was born in 1938. And in 1985, Mr. Wearing, who plays music professionally and he's a musicologist, had a disease. And what he lost through that as a grown man, he lost his memory. He's no longer able to hold short-term memory. He remembers everything he knew from 1938 to 1985. So he still can play the piano. But every day is brand new for him. He cannot hold memories longer than 30 minutes of new information. His wife wrote a book about him called Forever Today. Every day is brand new to him. And you would say, what a terrible, terrible situation that you can't hold short-term memory of new things. But Clive is very happy. I watch the video, he's playing the piano, and he radiates joy. Even though he has this amnesia where he can't remember. There's another story I watched that was quite sad. It's the opposite of amnesia. It's this woman, she says, has been the only one diagnosed who has not amnesia, she has hyperthenesia. Her name is Jill Price, and she was born in 1965, and Diane Sawyer interviewed her on 2020 and 2008. And this woman cannot forget anything. She said early on, it was sort of a parlor game. People would say, did you see the Dallas show that aired September the 17th, 1978? And she can tell you all the details of it. She has remembered everything that she's ever been taught. And you would say, well, what would be the problem remembering everything that you've ever heard? It's ruined her life. And she's written a book about it. And it's a quote from this. And it points to where I would like us to say that we have to use our memory properly. Because there are many things we need to remember, and there are some things we need to forget. She writes, though I hate the idea of losing any of my memories, it's also true that learning how to manage a life in the present, with so much of the past continually replaying itself in my mind, has been quite a challenge. Moreover, often than not, a debilitating one. I have struggled through many difficult episodes of being emotionally overwhelmed by memories that I want to get rid of, and they haunt me every day. So let me Say we're as believers, we need to be with this. I'm going to suggest three things that we absolutely need to forget. And if we don't forget them, if we keep telling us those same stories, we'll continue to be, as Jill said, debilitated in our ability to have joy. The first thing we need to forget is our sins. If you're still berating yourself of sins and mistakes that you committed or did in the past, you need to forget those. I can absolutely tell you, you need to let those go and forget them. Do you know why I can tell you that so authoritatively? You need to forget them because guess who has forgotten them? God the Father. Psalm 103 says that God has forgotten our sins. He's put them as far as the east is from the west. If you ever wondered, why didn't it say as far as the north is from the south? Wouldn't that be just as infinite? And it really wouldn't, spatially speaking, because if you started heading north today, what would you eventually do? Start heading south. But if you start heading east today, you would never go west. And what he used by this in the psalmist is that God has forgotten your sin infinitely. He's buried them, it says in Psalm 103, under the oceans. Charles Spurgeon said he buried them under the waters, and then he puts up a sign saying, no fishing. But sometimes we do seek to remember. We're haunted by those memories. That mirror that reflects on things that God has forgotten. Hebrews 8 says, God speaking, I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. So we need to forget our sins. They're under the blood. Let's leave them there and thank God with joy for his forgiveness. The second thing we need to forget is other sins. Sometimes we hold on to those even more tightly in memory than we hold on to our own. We still remember that business associate that betrayed us. We still remember that neighbor that cheated or stole something from us. We still remember that relative. We need to let it go. When Jesus told the disciples, when someone sins against you, you need to forgive 7 times 70. His point wasn't forgive a whole lot. His point was, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 13, true love doesn't even keep a journal of that. Let it go. If you're still stinging over a sin of someone else, I can tell you it's not ruining their life at all. It's not affecting their joy at all. But if we can't let other sins go, if we're remembering what we need to forget, it affects our joy. And the final thing we need to let go is our failures. If we truly believe God's word that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes, even our past failures, he worked together for good. Nothing is wasted. All things come together for good. Now, what do we need to remember? I'm just going to give these very quickly because I don't want to belabor the sermon. And don't worry about remembering them. I put them on hard stock and make copies for each one of you to get afterwards because you do need to remember this. And I would encourage you in this coming year to remember these, to use this precious gift of memory correctly. Forget those things that need to be forgotten and remember the things that need to be remembered. And there are 20 things the Bible tells us to remember. And I'm not going to give you the scripture. It'll be on the sheet when you get it when you leave. You need to remember that God delivered his people. You need to remember a day of rest. You need to remember the source of all our blessings. You need to remember God's holiness. You need to remember the wonderful works of God. You need to remember your Creator right now, every moment, you need to remember your Creator. You need to remember Lot's wife. And I'll explain just this one because it was alluded to in the first part of my sermon. What do we need to remember about Lot's wife? What was Lot's wife's problem? She couldn't forget. She turned and kept looking at that which was in the past. And she was immobilized as a statue. We need to remember the sacrifices of Christ. We need to remember that the servant is not greater than his Lord. We need to remember that it's more blessed to give than to receive. We need to remember that we were all Gentiles in the past. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. We need to remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We need to remember to avoid useless arguments. We need to remember to avoid useless arguments. We need to remember to avoid useless arguments. Make 2025 a year that you're not going to care. And that might mean you might have to watch less news TV. You need to remember those who suffer among us. You need to remember the teachings of the apostles. You need to remember the benefits of the Lord. Just the goodness of being his child. You need to remember God's word. And that's why we're encouraging with these other things. You need to remember to make your calling and election sure. You need to remember that God's compassion and faithfulness never fails. And then finally, you need to remember that there are no other gods. If we can use this gift of memory properly, forgetting those things that we need to forget, remembering those things that we should never forget, reminding each other when we do need good memory reminders, we'll have more stability and we'll have more confidence and we'll have more hope. I'd like to close the sermon by a quote from John Paul II. May it be a fitting close for our sermon, and may it be a fitting close and beginning of the transition of this calendar year. Let us remember the past with gratitude. Live in the present with enthusiasm and look forward to the future with confidence. For we remember that our God is faithful. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of grace and truth, we lift our hearts to you in thanks and praise, because before all things happened, you shaped your life to be with us in Christ. In the sacred temple of Jerusalem, you gave your people a way to be close to you in an invitation to be restored in relationship with one another and with you. In Jesus, you came into that temple and became the very place of encounter between yourself and your people. When his parents did not know how to find their son and yours, they discovered his purpose was to be the person and place through whom all people would find their destiny in you. In Christ's death and resurrection, you show us the cost of our being utterly lost and the glory of your finding us and bringing us home forever. And so with glad and joyful hearts, we join the company of heaven in the song of your never-ending glory.
Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Generous God, your Son Jesus Christ became the sacrifice that restored our covenant with you, and his resurrection unveiled for us the wonder of everlasting life. Send down now your Holy Spirit upon us as we gather in your name. Let your Son's peace rule in our hearts, and his word and wisdom dwell in us richly. Sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, again, took a cup, gave you thanks, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Astonishing God, your servant Mary treasured your wondrous deeds in her heart. Be close to any who wander in search of a loved one, a purpose in life, or a place to call home. Surround your faithful with good teachers and give your church good questions to ask. Walk with those for whom resentment or regret about the past inhibits flourishing life in the present. By the power of your Spirit, let your truth set us free. Open our eyes to the joy of your love and the wisdom of your grace in the eyes of a child. Until together with all your sons and daughters in your eternal kingdom, we behold you face to face, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In that wonderful psalm I quoted, Psalm 103, there's another place where the psalmist gives a reason why God is so loving and forgiving and patient with us. It says, he knows our frame. He knows we're frail as dust. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We overestimate our abilities. He understands our weaknesses. And he does not upbraid. He's all compassion. So while his memory is perfect, while his forgetting is perfect, ours is far from. Even when we thought we were younger and could remember better, we've always struggled with the imperfection of what we forget and what we remember. And that's why he created a system, old and new, and centered around this table, that we are going to be constantly in need of being put into remembrance. For our memory has a short shelf life. And in the chaos, in the confusion, in the hatefulness, in the division, in the world that we tend to live in, we can get distracted quite quickly. We can get discouraged. Our memory of the faithfulness of God can begin to wane. That's why we need each other to speak the word to each. That's why we need his Spirit to bind us like a fetter. We need his word to daily cleanse and renew our mind. And we need this table. that we do in remembrance of Him, reminding us of not only His sacrificial love and atonement for us, but that true life only comes from the death. And out of His darkest moment, eternal light has perpetually shined for us. This do in remembrance of Him. I invite all those who love Him in sincerity and truth to come in remembrance of Him. Remind yourself, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the participation of the body and blood of Christ, of His goodness and faithfulness in the presence of all enemies. Come and receive His feast. Thank you.
Our gracious God, we thank you for the beautiful and wonderful way in which you created us. We thank you for the ability to remember. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would enable us to use our memories correctly, forgetting those things which lie behind and reaching forth in the confidence of knowing that the one who has provided and cared, protected and held us every step of the way is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Now may that lingering taste constantly remind us of the ever-present goodness of our eternal Father. We thank you that you remember us always. So we pray in joy. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship singing hymn 208. Present us faultless before the throne, to God, who alone is wise, powerful, and almighty, we give honor and thanks, glory, laud, and honor, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.